Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Well, good morning, church, and anyone who's visiting with us online. Thank you for joining us here at City of Refuge. It's such an honor to be with you this morning. My name is John Igege, and I serve as an elder here at City of Refuge. And it's such a privilege to be able to preach the Word of God to you this morning. We've been going through a sermon series on the book of Colossians, reading through Colossians. And I have just been given a glow. There is a new light here for the melanated brothers to be able to shine on the screen. So thank you very much for that, worship team. So Colossians chapter 3 is the chapter that we are in this morning, and we'll be reading today from Colossians chapter 3. We'll be going through verses 1 through 17, but we're just going to focus on 8 through 11 for now. Colossians 3, 8 through 11. If you're able to, read along with me. I'm reading from the ESV version. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. May God bless the reading of his word in our hearts this morning. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we will get into our message for today. Father, we thank you because you are a good God. You are a good God who rescues us from old ways and old patterns of brokenness and gives us the new everlasting patterns of life. As we study your word this morning, we pray that your spirit would press it upon our hearts so that there is life-giving and life-forming change as we live and choose to honor you as Lord of our lives and Lord of this world. We ask all these things in the mighty and matchless name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to tell you this story. It's a story about something that I had as a prized possession in my home. So most people have a piece of clothing that they love, right? And mine was this pair of brown baggy shorts. These brown baggy cargo shorts that had like pockets all over, you know, so I could put my keys in this pocket. I could put my wallet in this pocket. I could put like a whole purse in this pocket. You know, it was just like really efficient for going out. Now, my wife hated these baggy shorts. She did not like these baggy shorts at all, because these baggy shorts were something that I brought from my life as a single person into our marriage, and she just didn't see it. It was like, man, those baggy shorts, they don't really look good on you. They have holes in them. They look dirty all the time. And every now and again, I would see these baggy shorts in the pile of clothes that we were about to donate. And I would run back to these baggy shorts and just kind of bring them back in. And my wife would still be like, hey, like these baggy shorts just need to go. And time again, we played that game, right? The baggy shorts got into the pile. I would rescue them and bring them back to the closet. And she would kind of tell me, hey, you're a married man now. You have union with me. When you go out in those baggy shorts, you're not only representing yourself, John, you are also representing us. You're representing me. Radical union. Now, eventually, I had to let the baggy shorts go because my relationship with my wife was more important than those baggy shorts. But from time to time, I still dream about those baggy shorts. Now, you see, Paul is painting a picture here for us in Colossians chapter 3, where he says there's a new reality. Because there is union with Jesus Christ through his Spirit, all who believe have this radical union, right? It's like we've been married to Jesus Christ. As a church, we've been married to Jesus Christ. As individuals, we have a new identity with Jesus Christ. And in this new identity, through the Spirit of God, God is rooting us to Jesus, who remains Lord over this world and Lord over our lives. And so as we root ourselves in Jesus, we find radical union with Christ. But he goes a step further to say, if there's radical union with Christ, then there are certain things that need to change about who we are, about how we present ourselves to the world around us, about the things that we keep and the things that we put off. What are we to do when we have this radical union with Christ? We are to put off certain things. That's how he starts. In verses 5 through 9, he has a list of different sins that we are to put to death. We are to put to death our sins. Now, I love the philosopher Cornelius J. Plantinga's way of describing what sin is. He talks about sin as a breaking of shalom or a breaking of wholeness. And as he's talking about this, he talks about how the original way that the church understood sin was this thing about, like, goodness is what is actually real and original. And sin is a fake. It's a counterfeit. Sin is a parasite that attaches itself to good things and seeks to corrupt those good things. So in view of God's original design for flourishing in our world, sin is anything that breaks the wholeness and the flourishing that God has always intended for this world to have. Sin is not the original. Sin is fake. Sin does not bring flourishing to humanity. Sin only brings brokenness. Sin is not the way things are supposed to be. And Paul gives a list of different sins in here that he's trying to explain to the Colossians and the folks in that church. Here are things that you need to put off, like an old pair of clothing. He talks about immorality. He talks about impurity, evil desires. He talks about greed and anger and malice, slander, abusive speech, lying. All these things, he says, are things that are corruptions of what is good. They are not original, but they are counterfeits. They are a way of showing up that is not the real humanity. They are actually fake humanity. Now, the truth is, some of us treat our sins just like I used to treat my old cargo shorts, right? We treat our sins as this thing that we have sentimental value with. So we keep going back. We keep going back to the sins. But the truth is, if sin is a corruption of what is good, and if sin is fake, the reality is that our sin is not like the old pair of clothes that we put on the donation pile. In fact, our sin is not even like clothes that we have just taken off after a big workout that we need to just put in the wash and get clean again. The reality is our sin. And why Paul is saying that we must put off our sin is because our sin is actually clothes that we have worn when we have a deadly viral disease. Our sin are the clothes that we wear to the hospital when we have Ebola. Our sin is the PPE that protects us from the coronavirus. And so we should not treat our sin as something that we can just put off for a little bit and then go back to after a while. We should not even treat our sin as something that we can throw in a wash to make clean again so that we could put it back in the closet. Paul's encouragement to them is immorality, impurity, evil desire, greed, slander, malice, anger, abusive speech, lying. All of these things are things that need to be put off. Not like an old pair of clothes, but like something that is disease infected. Like something that carries diseases. Something that is fatal, not just to ourselves, but to others around us. Our sin is meant to be put off because our sin corrupts. Our sin is virus-ridden. Our sin is fatal to our health and the health of others around us. That is how serious sin is. Sin weakens our spiritual immune systems. Sin destroys everything that is good in this world. Sin doesn't only damage our bodies, sin damages our souls. Sin damages the fabric of created goodness that God intends for this world. And that is why we don't just put it on the pile. We're actually to cast it off. Put it off like clothing that is dangerous to our health. We should not cherish our sin. We should not go back to our sin. If we are united with Jesus Christ, then our sins are meant to be put off. Whenever we sin, Jesus is not Lord of our lives, but the desires that we have. Whenever we sin, we make something else Lord of our lives and not Jesus Christ. And that is why Paul continues to encourage this church to say, church, think of your sin as something that is really serious. Be dead to your sin, he says. Do not put your sin on life support. Do not put your sin in the donation pile to get to it later. Do not put your sin in the closet. Do not put your sin in the washing machine, but put it off. Put it off and never return to it again. So, church, let me ask you, what sin do you struggle with? What is a sin that you keep going back to? What are the lies that you believe about yourself, who you are, and what you are to do? What are the things that break wholeness and flourishing in your life? But you see, the Christian idea of sin is not just personal. It's also communal. What are the sins that we as a church have struggled? If you've been around with us for the last year, you've known that it's been a very difficult season for us as a church. And we've wrestled with our own brokenness. We've wrestled with the way that God doesn't intend for churches to operate. We've wrestled with the way that our brokenness affects our neighbor. The disease that we have shows up and destroys our community. As we already prayed this morning, we see how sin not only corrupts individuals and small communities, but entire fabrics in society. In social justice, and in the justice system that doesn't work for certain people because of the color of their skin. That is evidence of our sin. And we are broken, and we keep going back to those systems over and over again, thinking that they will save us, but they won't. We see this in everything that we see going on around our world, as certain people groups are targeted because of the spread of the coronavirus, because of their ethnicity or where they're from. This is evidence of sin. We see it in the way our economy collapses, the way we neglect to care for one another. We neglect to take care of people who are around us. That is an evidence of greed, of sin that must be put off. If we do not take our sickness seriously, then we will always go back to it. If we do not take our sickness seriously, then we will not know the weight of the cure that Christ has brought for us. Knowing the greatness of our sin helps us to know the greatness of our salvation. And so Paul moves on to the next section, because union with Christ is not just about putting off our sin. There's actually new clothes that Christ has for us to put on. Verses 12 through 14. We are to come alive to holy and wholesome living. He talks about that when he says we are being renewed. And that verb that he uses there is one that is continuous. Over and over and over again, we are constantly being renewed into the true knowledge of our God through the image of our Lord and Savior, our Creator, Jesus Christ. You see, the truth about what it means to be human is not sinfulness. Christ-likeness is what it means to truly be human. And in our union with Christ, this requires new clothing. So we are to put off the old ways of being and to put on new ways of being with Christ. Put on a heart of compassion, he says, of kindness and humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave us. Now, if you know anything about forgiveness, forgiveness is hard. It's hard to look into a place where you've been hurt and to forgive those who have hurt you. It's hard to be humble and to be gentle and to be patient when you're the one who has to bear the pain of being Christ-like. And it's hard because a lot of times there's reciprocity in this. A lot of times we're the people who other people have to bear with and have to be patient with. But you see, when we come alive in Jesus Christ, when we come alive in who Christ is, there is no mincing of words. There is something that God wants us to do. There is a new type of community that Christ wants us to be. A community that has a heart of compassion. A community that is kind and humble and gentle and patient. A community that does not lie, but tells the truth. A community that does that in a way that is loving. A community that does not love in a way that hides the truth. God is calling us as a church and as individuals to be that. Put off the old self and put on this new self. But how in the world can we do that? How can we create a world where Jesus is truly Lord over all things? How are we supposed to be patient and kind with people and situations that have deeply hurt us? How are we to be honest and truthful without gossiping and slandering? What does it mean to bear with one another and to forgive just as Christ has forgiven us? How are we supposed to be patient and loving without just excusing the wrong things that people in our community and in our lives do to hurt us? How can we put on this new self that Christ is calling us to? Well, we need to go back to the beginning of chapter 3 to see some of those things. And there are three things that I think the chapter is showing us about the how. This is what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to put off the old self, the lying, the slander, the anger, the sexual immorality, and to put on a new self that is pure, a new self that is forgiving and patient and loving and tells the truth at all times, not negating the opportunity to love at the same time. That's what we're supposed to do. And how do we do it? We can only do it by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the first way that we can actually do these things of putting off the old self and putting on the new self. You see, because Jesus is Lord, He is the anointed Messiah, the Savior of the world, and the King that rules over all things. He has the power and the authority to help us to put off the old self and to put on the new self. Without submitting to Jesus' Lordship and to the power of His resurrection in His Spirit, it is impossible to put off the old self and to put on the new self. And I love the word that is used for being raised with Christ here. It's the Greek word synergeo, which comes to our word synergy. This idea of working together. This idea of work that is being done together. There is work that Christ is doing in our hearts and in our souls and in our community to raise us up with Him. Will we enter into that partnership by surrendering ourselves and saying, "God, through Jesus Christ and in the power of Your Spirit, do this work in me that will make me put off my old self and continue to put on this new self that you have called me to. There is work for us to do together. And it's not work that just happens one time, right? If there's anything we know about ourselves, there are sins that we keep coming back to over and over again. The things that we want to do, we do not do. And the things that we do want to do, we end up not doing. But the beauty of the gospel is that it presents to us a message of ongoing renewal. Ongoing renewal through the power of the Spirit. This is what Christians call sanctification. It is this knowledge that though my sin might win a battle today, I know how this story ends. Because Jesus Christ, my Lord, will always win the war. Though my sin may have me at this moment, I know that if I surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord, I know that the story will end in my favor, and I will be able to more and more put away the old things and put on the new self that Christ is calling me to. If I surrender to Jesus as Lord, and if I call my community, my family, my church, my coworkers, my neighborhood, my city, to also surrender to Jesus as Lord, though injustice may have a moment right now, I know that justice and righteousness will flow like a never-ending stream because Jesus is Lord and I have surrendered to His Lordship. Here's one way that the Westminster Confession puts it. When it talks about sanctification, it says, those who are effectively called and regenerated have a new heart, a new spirit created in them. They are additionally sanctified, actually and personally, by the power of Christ's death and resurrection, and by His Word and Spirit that dwells in them. The power of sin ruling over the whole body is destroyed, and the desires of the old self are more and more weakened and killed. And at the same time, God gives them the ability to practice true holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, and they are brought to life and strengthened by His saving grace. Since we have been called to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, there is this reality that His Spirit does, renewing us day by day. And as Nikki likes to remind us, moment by moment, there is a way in which we are being renewed so we can put off the old self and put on the new self. And we start to hate the old self more and more, so that even in times where we fail, there's accountability, there's hatred of our sin, and there's a true desire for life and the glory that Jesus Christ has for us. Put off the old self and put on the new self by surrendering to Jesus Christ. A second way that we can actually do this thing of putting off the old self and putting on the new self is by fixing our eyes on Jesus. In verse 2, it talks about that. It says, keep seeking things that are above and not things that are on earth. Set your mind on those things, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. This kind of devotion that calls us to put off the old self and put on the new self cannot happen unless we are solely fixed on the person and work of Jesus Christ. If our eyes are fixed on Jesus Christ, like the old song says, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So how do we put off the old self and put on the new self? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on what He has done for you. Fix your eyes on His Lordship over your life. Fix your eyes of His Lordship, yes, even over your sin. Fix your eyes on Jesus and watch your sins become dimmer and dimmer every day. And the third thing, how are we to put off the old self and put on the new self? Well, you can't do it alone. If I wasn't married to my wife, I probably would still be wearing those cargo shorts right now. We need community. We need to be connected to people who can look at our lives and we can open up our lives to and who can say, hey, this thing that you're doing right now, I see it. I'm not condemning you because there's no condemnation for those in Christ. But I can't leave you there because there's a new self that Christ calls us to put on. Be part of a community, a renewed humanity and Christian community. He talks about that in verses 11 through 17. What has brought all these different people together? Right? There's this new community, this new humanity that's being renewed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor free. Right? There's this new community, and it doesn't mean that there are no differences in this new community. What it means is that there are no divisions, even though there are differences. Everyone in this new community sees their differences in light of the person and the work and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so when one community and one person hurts in this new community called the church, we all hurt together. When one person is struggling to put off the old self and to put on the new self, we all come around that person. We do not say, because I do not struggle with this, I am at another level and you stay there. We are one in the body of Jesus Christ and one through the resurrection. When our African American brothers and sisters are wrestling with the pain of injustice over the death and the killing of more unarmed black men, as a community, we rally around them and say, here in this church, there is neither Greek nor Jew, because we are part of the body of Christ. And so where you feel pain, I feel pain too. We rally around each other. We come alongside one another, and we say, if there is any way that the old self and way of being, either individually or communally, is hurting you, I want to come alongside and support you. Full participation in renewed humanity and in the church will get us to a place where we can put off the old self, because there is accountability and there are people who care for us and people who see us and encourage us to put off the old self. People who remind us of our union with Christ and the new clothes that it requires, clothes of righteousness and truth-telling and love and mercy and kindness. That is who we are. And that is why what we do when we gather matters. In the last part of this chapter, or this section, he talks about what we should do as a community as we continue to gather, to admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, to bring people before the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ so they can put off their old selves at the foot of the cross and pick up the new self of righteousness that God is calling them to. Living a life of love which binds all of these things together. Again, if Christ has risen from the dead, then his peace, his shalom, his reign must rule in our hearts and in our world. We must be guided and shaped by this. The love of Christ and his resurrection must be our creed. This matters because we forget. We forget what Christ has called us to. We forget the kind of community that we are to be. We forget the putting off of our old self and the picking up of the new self. And so we remind ourselves as we gather weekly or daily to put off the old self and put on the new self. This community, the church, is a place where our sin does not just sit on the donation pile, but it's a place where our sin comes to die. At the foot of the cross and through this new community that is being inspired by the Holy Spirit, this is a place where we can confess our sin to one another. This is a place where we can lament the impact of our sin and brokenness on another human being's life. This is a place where, through the power of the Spirit of God, we can see our sin as dead to us and rise and put on new robes of Christ-likeness that will bring about patience and kindness and truth-telling and justice and love in our church, in our lives, and in our world. And it's no mistake that on a day like Mother's Day, one of the last exhortations we are given in this chapter is that we should bear with one another. Bear with one another. Absorb the pain. Be patient no matter what. No matter what a brother or sister in Christ does to you, bear with one another and be patient with one another. When we cannot bear that alone, reach out to your community and let people hold the weight of the pain and the struggle that you are feeling. We must link arms together as a community and as a church and as people, because this is not a journey that any of us can fly solo. We must do it together, and we must do it in a way that bears the brunt of the pain and the hurt so that another person can experience grace and forgiveness and justice and truth-telling and righteousness that brings them from a place of running back to their old selves to a place of putting on the new self that Christ has for us. So if there's anything else that you remember today, remember this. The big idea is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ radically empowers us to put off the old sinful self and put on the new Christ-like self. When we submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, and when we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, and when we connect with a community of people who can keep us accountable, we will be able to put off the old self and put on the new self. So I want to send a call out to you today. Wherever you are on your journey of faith, God is calling you to put off the old self and to embrace and put on the new Christ-like self. If you've never known what it's like to follow Jesus as Lord, we invite you to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead and that Jesus is truly Lord of your life and of this world. Send us an email to corepraise@cityofrefuge.org, and someone would love to follow up with you. If you're a person who has put your faith in Christ, but you want to go even deeper in knowing what it's like to put off the old self and to put on the new self, connect with us as well. And we love to continue that journey of following Jesus and discipleship that continues to help us to put off the old self and put on the new Christ-like self. So remember, if you have been raised with Jesus Christ, set your mind on things above and not on things below. Remember, church, that we have been bought by a price. And whatever we are called to do, in word or deed, we must submit all of those things to the lordship of Jesus Christ, because he loves us and he sacrificed his life for us. And he will always empower us to put off the old self and put on the new self. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I bring you this message. Amen. Let's pray. Spirit of God, empower us as we sang this morning to not go back to the way things used to be, because we know that your presence has come to change us radically. Help us to put off the old self and put on the new self that is being renewed in the likeness and image of our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us community where we can be open and unashamed, but community that will challenge us to be different. God, thank you so much for being Lord of our lives, and that even our sin cannot stand in your presence. Father, we love you, and we ask for radical change in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.